Hope you've enjoyed those of you that are participating in the daily devotional for the 40 days of prayer. Hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it myself. And if you haven't been doing it, you can still start. And so I just encourage you, we do have that devotion laid out on our website, tacreading.info. Under the What's Happening tab, and then there's a 40 Days of Prayer tab there you can click on and get those daily devotions. And I think there's even you can sign up to get them emailed to you every day as well, so that you can have those each morning. But it's good, again, to be going through this together. Again, appreciate going through the attributes of God and understanding a little bit more of who this one is that we worship, and at least be reminded of these characteristics of the God who we worship.
As all of us, I think we continue to grow and to develop and to learn about God, but also more importantly, looking for ways, what does that look like? How are we living it out, right? How is that truth about who God is lived in our life? And one of the things maybe surprising for some of you, and knowing that I'm a pastor, your pastor, but one of the things I'm learning anew over the last few months is the power of prayer, that we have a God who hears our prayers, right? And that he is a God who knows, you know, we're going to get into this today, but he knows what's coming. I know me personally, I have a tendency to, you know, so much of life I just go about and just do, right? Certainly I start each morning with the Lord and I trust that he's with me in that, but there's sometimes you just, you know, I get in these rhythms, right, where I just, and as I'm walking that rhythm, I face an issue or a problem or a tension comes up, and instead of going directly to the Lord, I try to figure it out on my own, right? And there's just something I'm learning, there's something about, and this is truth, we know this, but it's, you have to be reminded of it, there's something about bringing things to God in prayer, like that we would stop in the moment of that tension and go, okay, Lord, what is your plan for this moment, right? How do I work my way through this? How are you directing in this? And this has been true of some of the things we've seen in our church, and this year the Lord has really pressed in to me to have us as a church be praying for our finances, right? And that's not something that we've regularly done, that I've regularly encouraged us to do, to be praying corporately for our finances. But there's another piece that just came up, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is like our finances. We need to be praying for this as well, and that's our area of children's ministry. We've got some a few very strong and great people who have devoted their time and efforts for many years to our children's ministry, but the fact of the matter is we need more people, right? And so we've had this struggle, this tension that we've been walking in for a number of years, actually now, a couple of years, trying to find some extra help, but also trying to kind of just shore up this ministry, and it's an important ministry in our church, but I've never really brought it to our congregation for us to be praying corporately about that. And so I just want to do that today. I just want to encourage us at the beginning of this message on the amazingness and the awesomeness of God and his unchangeable, his nature, his eternality, that we would recognize that he's the one that's got the answer, right? That we don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. The staff doesn't have the answer. He has the answer. And so I just invite you in to be praying for our children's ministry specifically over the next couple of weeks. We're having conversations about, you know, what do we do and how do we navigate this, because we're in essence, a breaking point, and we need to make some hard decisions. So just invite you into that with us to be praying and asking the Lord to give us wisdom and to give us direction and to care for the needs of our children in our church, especially on a Sunday morning. I encourage you to open your Bibles to Psalm 102, and I'm going to read a portion of that, the last 10 or 11 verses, and use that as kind of the intro to beginning point of our message today on the unchangeableness of God. So Psalm 102, verses 18 and following. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That he looked down from his holy height, from heaven the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord and in Jerusalem his praise, when peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. Oh, my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. This offspring shall be established before you. The reality of our God is that he is beyond our full comprehension. We can understand some of who he is. We can understand the pieces that have been revealed to us. But the fact remains, we are finite beings, and we can never fully understand that which is infinite. Message series on the attributes of God, we saw last week that some of his attributes, some of the characteristics of this God who is infinite and awesome and not fully understandable, some of those attributes are communicable. They can be experienced by his creation. Things like love and justice and mercy and grace. And as we saw last week, his holiness. He is holy, but he invites us into his holiness. And we too can experience that holiness. But there are other attributes of God that are non-communicable. They are beyond what we can ever experience as human beings. They are not something that we can fully understand because we can't experience them personally. And it is as we understand this reality that he is beyond us that we come to the mystery of God. The mysteries of God, though, are the things that inspire our worship. If, in essence, God was able to be fully known by us, he would not be worthy of worship. If he was so small that we as human beings in our individual smallness were able to comprehend him fully, then why would we worship him? But moreover, if we were able to be all the things that God is, then we should just simply worship ourselves. It is the mysteries of God, the things that he is, that are wholly unlike we are, that inspire and motivate our praise and justify our worship. Last week, our worship was prompted by his holiness. We find ourselves awed by his presence and how glorious and majestic he is and how amazing it is that he invites us to join him in his awesome holiness. Knowing and participating in such a wonderful attribute as God's holiness certainly sparks a desire to worship him and give thanks for his generosity. But this week, we will consider some non-communicable attributes. God invites us into his holiness because he created us with the capacity to be holy with him. But the eternality of God and his unchangeableness are wholly unattainable for us as human beings. and are thereby something that will always leave in us a sense of mystery. While we are able to cognitively understand and even verbally express them, we can never personally experience them. Being unable to know an attribute personally means we are left in the dark, not knowing what it's really like. Like hearing someone describe a roller coaster, but never riding one. We are left to imagine what it is like, but never know if our imagination is anything close to the actual experience. The incommunicable attributes of God are amazing truths that seem impossible and stretch beyond our mind's capacity to understand. But what is comprehensible brings a powerful sense of hope and encouragement and inspires us to greater worship. The first to consider this morning is that he is eternal. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God has no beginning and he has no end. He always has been and always will be. But even our discussion of God's eternality is limited because we are beings who are within time and can only speak about something from our own time perspective. But God is outside of time. He is beyond time. He is not limited by time. He exists outside of the limits of time, and he's not bound by its rules. Creation, what we live in, is in time, but God is not. God has the ability to view all of time at once. And he also has the ability to be and see within each moment at once. He exists in what we call the eternal now. No past and no future. Just now. This eternality of God has this secondary, if you will, attribute of making God omniscient. We see him and understand him as being omniscient because he is outside of time and because he created all that is. And so he knows all things that are possible to be known. He knows all of the past that we have experienced, and he knows all of the future, but he also knows way more than all of that. Even if we were to understand all of the things that can be known within creation, we still would be lacking in knowledge compared to God's knowledge. God exists. He is pure existence. This comes out in Exodus 3:14 as Moses is interacting with God in the burning bush, and he asks him, who sends me? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I exist has sent me to you. He exists. He is pure existence. He cannot not exist. There was no time before he exists, and there will be no time after he exists because he just is existence. He is what we call a necessary being. One who, if he didn't exist, nothing would exist. He is life, and all of life and existence is found in him. He is self-existent, which means that no one created him. He didn't need someone else, or ever even now doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our worship. He is totally self-existent and contained. He is the uncaused cause of all that is. We see this communicated in Acts 17, where Paul is at the Agapolis, and he's communicating to the people there of the God who they don't know exists. And this is part of what he says in verses 24 and 25. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. We see that we have a God who is eternal. He is existence. And he is the one who gives all of life. The powerful ramifications of God being eternal. First of all, without him, if we don't have him, then there is no life. Acts 17, 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. If we don't have him, then we don't have life. All of life is dependent on him, and without his constant attention, we would cease to exist. There is not a moment that goes by that he is not aware of each and every one of us individually. Because if he was not aware, if he ceased to think about it, if he ceased to give us our breath, every breath that we take, then we would no longer have life. So if he is eternal, if he is existence, pure existence, if life is in him, and then if we have him, then we have eternal life. Our union with an eternal being results in the great gift of life today and for the rest of our days. With him, there is hope. When we are united with him, when we express our praise and worship to him, when we honor him as the eternal being that he is, then we have hope. Because we know that he is the one who gives life. He is the one who has created all things. He is the one who is the constant, who always is what he is. And we can trust that he will always be with us. There will never be a time when he no longer is with us. He will always remain with us. And he knows this amazing truth that he knows what is happening right now, but he also knows what's going to happen tomorrow. The second attribute that we will look at this morning is the unchangeableness of God. Similar to his eternality, we also, the unchangeableness of God is not an attribute that we can experience on our own. We can cognitively understand it to some extent. We might be able to communicate it in some extent, but we can never experience it ourselves. And actually, for us, it's a great blessing to not be able to be able to change. But God doesn't, and he cannot change. Malachi 3, verse 6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. And James 1, 17, of course, says the similar thing. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Not only can God not cease to exist, his existence can't change. He can't become less than what he is or more. You know, we use this term quite a bit, you know, when especially when we're seeing young people and they're maturing and growing in the Lord, in the Lord, or in whatever maybe they're involved in, and we can speak to them a word of life saying, you know what, I see in you, young man, I see a lot of potential. And that means that we expect that, oh my gosh, this young person is going to grow into something. They're going to mature into something. They're going to develop the skills. They have potential to really be great or to do some things that maybe they at this point cannot do. But with God, God, he has no potential. God has no potential because he cannot and will not change. He can't get better than what he is currently. Hebrews 13:8, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God, there's no progression of morality in God. He didn't have to develop over time to become holy. Right? He didn't develop over time to become eternal or to become unchangeable, right? He has always been these things and always will be these things, right? There's no progression of morality, but there's also no progression of thought. God does not change his mind. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God does not change his mind. There's no progression. There's no thought progression with God. No decision-making process. For us to make a wise decision, we need to bring in other ideas. We need to contemplate and think about it. And sometimes we need to make a list, you know, the pros and cons of any decision that we make. Well, this is not God. He doesn't need to do any of that because every thought he has is a perfect thought. And there's no need to change that thought or to contemplate that thought or to process with that thought because every thought is perfect. He can't, on second thought, choose a different path. Once he sets a direction, that is the right, the only one and right direction. For us, as again, as human beings, we have a hard time understanding and this, perceiving this, because there's always multiple directions for us that we could go, and sometimes multiple right ways that we could go. But with God, There's just one right path, and he always thinks that and speaks that right thing. We can imagine maybe even in regards to creation. Sometimes we can get a little bit of critical of God and the world that we live in, and complain about, you know, the sin and the pain and the struggles that happen, and we're like, God, why didn't you just create a different world, right? Why didn't you create something that didn't have all of these things? And the reason is simple, is because God has perfect thought, perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge, perfect power. And so when he decided to create, the exact thing that he decided to create in that moment was what he created, because it was perfect. Of all of the possible worlds that could be created, God created the best possible one, because God can only think and decide and speak and create that which is perfect. God is not like us. He is totally unchangeable. He does what he says he will do. He cannot lie, and he will always follow through. The amazing ramifications of a God who is unchangeable, though, is quite sweet. I hope that we can perceive these realities and that we're reminded of these realities over and over again. Because the fact that God is unchangeable means that he is always faithful. He will never let us down. Now, this is a hard one for us as human beings, because how we define letting us down sometimes doesn't align with what is true. We want our way. And so if we don't get our way, we feel like God has let us down. We pray in ways to try to manipulate God into doing our will instead of him doing his will. But he will always do his will. And his will is always good. And if his will is always good, and he never changes being good, then that means that he will always do what is best for us. He will always be faithful to us. He will never let us down, no matter what our circumstances look. Doesn't matter if things are falling apart all around us. Doesn't matter if we're filled with pain. Doesn't matter if every day of life just seems to be a drudgery and filled with chaos and struggle. It doesn't matter what we are experiencing in this world. Our God is a good and faithful God, and he is with us in every moment, and he is there being faithfully working to do good on our behalf. Do you perceive it? When we sense or are tempted to feel like God is not being faithful, we need to simply go back to this truth about who he is and claim that truth and declare that truth over our situation. God, even in the midst of my pain, you are good and you are faithful and you are working in this for my benefit. I love that we also have a God who is able to hear our complaints. Because there are those times when we cry out and we ask, "How long, O Lord?" Many of our psalms help us to do that sometimes. How long are our enemies going to continue to win over us? How often are we going to have to continue to be abused? How often are we going to have to? But at the end of almost every one of those types of psalms, there's this declaration of God's character. We can complain to God all we want, but may we always come back to this truth that God, you are good. God, you see me. God, you are working. You haven't left me. You are with me. Another ramification of God being unchangeable is that the rules are not going to change. For each and every one of us, from the beginning of time until the end of time, there is one way of salvation. It's Jesus. We don't have to worry that at some point God's going to ask for more. We don't have to worry that he's going to kind of change up the rules on us and how to do this. We can trust that he is going to remain the same. And that Jesus is always going to be the center of all things. God's unchangeableness also encourages us that we have a God who's consistent in who he is. He's not a moody God. We don't have to worry about him kind of, you know, losing his cool with us one day, right? He's the same. He is Father. He is love. He is just. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is a God who continues to pursue his people. He's a God who continues to sacrifice for them. to continue to draw them to himself. He's a God who's continuing to build his kingdom for his glory, but for our blessing. Understanding the attributes of God are important for us as Christians. And we need to continue to be reminded of them. And again, why I'm thankful that the Alliance has decided that we'd start this 40 days of prayer this year with this attributes of God. To understand the attributes that are communicable, the things that we can experience ourselves, but also to understand, at least cognitively, the things that we will never fully understand and know because we can't experience them ourselves. To understand the mystery of God, to inspire our worship, but also to inspire our behavior. Reflecting on the attributes of God is a worthwhile exercise of our mind and our faith. To be reminded of the core characteristics of the one whom we worship is a wonderful way to build our hope, no matter our situation. But as with any of our beliefs, we must ensure we are living our lives in alignment with these truths. It is not enough to believe God is eternal. We must live with deep honor and respect for the one who gives us life, and with full assurance that those who've received salvation will indeed be resurrected from the dead. We must live with freedom and without fear of death, because we are united with the eternal, life-giving God of all creation. If God knows tomorrow, then we must follow his lead with boldness and courage. We must trust his wisdom and his plans. Furthermore, believing God is unchangeable must be accompanied with us living with confidence that he who promised is faithful. He will do what he said he will do. If he will never leave us nor forsake us, then we must never despair, even when our senses of him have gone numb. If he is always working on our behalf, then we must look for what he is doing in and through us, no matter the situation. But there is even more foundational truth that demands a response. If we believe these attributes of God to be true, then our entire lives should freely be given in honoring and worshiping him. Is that true of you? Worship team, you can come on up. Has your entire life been freely given to the awesome and mysterious God of the universe? Are there areas of your life that still aren't surrendered? Can you hear a message on the greatness and the awesomeness of the attributes of the God that we worship and walk out unchanged? Can we really reflect on how amazing he is, how mysterious he is, and not fall to our knees in awesome worship of him? It is understanding this God that we worship, understanding who he is and how grand he is, how beyond us he is, how infinite he is, how eternal he is, unchangeable he is, all knowing he is, all wise that he is, all powerful. He's omniscient everywhere, every moment, every day. He is there. He is everywhere. He is a God who is not all of these things only, but also a God of love. A God longing for intimacy with his creation. What is man that he is mindful of us? We cannot and should not be able to come and read these passages and hear a message preached on the amazing attributes of God and it not change us. Not go, oh my gosh, I cannot believe who you are, God. You are beyond me. I do not deserve your attention. I don't deserve your creation. I don't deserve your presence with me. I don't deserve another breath, but I praise you, Lord, because you've given it to me. We sang a little bit ago, this breath that we have been given, we worship him with it. Yes, do we recognize every breath is from him? May we recognize it. It is understanding who God is. The pieces that we can somehow experience like his love and his holiness, and the pieces that just boggle our minds like his fact that he's been around forever and always will be and never has not been and all that, it's just amazing, and that he never changes. Like those things just boggle our mind, but both of those things, the things we understand, the things we don't, they should cause us to worship. And not worship in fear because he loves us. We worship in honor of his grandness, his awesomeness, his power, his goodness, his amazing love for us, that he is constantly working on our behalf. Unbelievable, unfathomable. Let's respond in worship this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a great and awesome God indeed. Lord, we thank you that you invite us you've created us to be worshipers, to worship you, to honor you, to give you all the glory, to depend on you, to look to you for all that we need, to see you as the great provider, the one who gives us life and continues to give it to us each breath of each day. But Lord, we thank you as well that you do not invite us to worship one who is unworthy. Lord, you are worthy. Thank you for how you've revealed yourself in your word. These concepts, these perspectives of who you are that that stretch our minds, that confuse us, that challenge us, that make us just kind of wonder and be filled with the mystery of it all. Thank you that you are indeed beyond comprehension. But thank you, Lord, that there's enough about you that we can know that leads to a salvation, a saving faith in you. And thank you that you pursue us, that you are mindful of us, and that you invite us into your life and into the union with you and into great intimacy. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being here with us this morning. Again, we've got another song if you'd like to continue to worship. Our prayer team would love to pray with you about whatever it may be going on. And in the fellowship hall, we've got the potatoes ready for sale and also just lots of fellowship. Speak life and encouragement over one another today. Make sure somebody hears a word of encouragement from you before you go today. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful Sunday.